Actually, in the last few weeks, several folks have asked me about some of the different stoles that I wear, because I've pulled out a few favorites recently. I haven't had a chance to tell you yet about this one. This is one of my absolute favorite stoles. Now, the stole is one of the symbols of service and dedication worn by a pastor. Or as many a child has noted, it looks like a scarf. Also true. This one, however, is one of my favorites because it was made from my baby blanket. Now, sort of. You see, it was made actually from the first replacement of my baby blanket when I received my second replacement. I'm on my fourth blanket now. But once I got the third one, I could take the second one and have it turned in. Yeah, my grandma's over here going, oh God, he's talking about that. Yes. There's nothing like sitting down with your grandmother going, hey, you got time to make another blanket? I know I'm in my 30s, but... Yeah, even the greatest of grandmothers can only sew a patch onto a patch onto a patch so many times before she says, sweetheart, it's time for a new one. See, my grandma actually made all of her grandkids what we affectionately call camping blankets made of quilted bandanas. Mine was blue on one side and red on the other. And I had it turned into this stole. It's one of the many homemade treasures I have from my grandmother, and this is another one. This one. So this is a quilt my grandma made when she was part of a Women of the Bible study. Each week the Bible study was looking at a different woman from the scriptures, and my grandma would cross-stitch a new panel using the traditional symbols associated with that woman in the scriptures, and slowly built the quilt as they went through Bible study together. Now, I was lucky enough that my grandma decided to gift me this quilt. Even though we have no shortage of amazing Christian women in my family to whom the quilt could have been given. But as I entered into ordained ministry, I think my grandmother wanted me to remember them and all of the saintly women that came before them as she gave this to me about the time I entered seminary. She wanted me to have in my office a reminder of the faithful, powerful stories in our scriptures that are often overlooked because they're about women. 2 weeks ago, we heard the story of Esther. She's on here. And it was a beautiful time to look at what it is for a woman to hear and respond to God's call and change the world around her. In the next few weeks, we actually have a few more women to learn about and learn from. And today, we will hear a story of one of the most foundational and instrumental people of the early Christian movement. It's a pretty big deal. It is, however, also one of the most overlooked stories. Because this foundational and instrumental pillar of the early church is a woman. I want you to hear the story of Dorcas. Okay, you can giggle once. We're just going to get that done with. I want you to hear the story of Dorcas as told by the book of Acts. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Her life overflowed with good works and compassionate acts on behalf of those in need. About that time, though, she became so ill that she died. After they washed her body and laid her in an upstairs room, they wept. Since Lydia was near Joppa, when the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent people to get Peter. They urged Peter, please come right away. So Peter went with them. Upon his arrival, he was taken to that upstairs room. All the widows stood beside him, crying as they showed the tunics and the other clothing that Dorcas made when she was alive. Peter sent everyone out of the room. Then he knelt and he prayed. He turned to her body and said, Tabitha, get up. And she opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand as he raised her up. Then he called God's holy people, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news spread throughout Joppa, and many put their faith in the Lord. As with many key people in our Bible, our main character in the story today has two names. Happens all the time. Tabitha and Dorcas. They're the same person. The name Dorcas is her Greek name. It's what her friends would have called her. So we will too. Dorcas is the only woman in the New Testament to be named and called a disciple. Though, I mean, we know there were many women who not only followed Jesus, but actively participated in his ministry. So this might sound funny that she's the only one named a disciple, but no other woman in our scriptures was ever given that word as a title. The author of Acts actually uses the word in a way it had never been used in the scriptures before. See, nouns in Greek, much like Spanish or others, they can tell you gender. And it's the only time methetria, the female word of this Greek word for disciple, is ever used. Every other time it's just mathetes, which means male disciple. That one gets used all the time. They throw that word around for anybody, I swear. But for this woman, only once. So why was Dorcas known as a disciple? Did she perform great miracles? Did she preach amazing sermons? Did she convert thousands of people? No. I tell you, other than the use of the word disciple, how can we know that she was so foundational and important in the life of the early church? The answer is in our scripture this day. She was so instrumental in the community of believers in that early church that when she died, the people in charge of the community immediately asked for Peter to be summoned. Peter, the one Jesus called the Rock, the one who had been charged with beginning the church's work in the world. He was that big name. He was the guy. And as soon as she dies, their immediate thought is, we've got to get Peter here, and we need to get him now. Her death required someone of that stature to be called in to care for the community. Because that community of believers was so struck with grief, they needed the strongest reassurance possible. So what had she done to be known this way? Dorcas simply lived like Jesus. Hear that in all the ways that it's meant. Dorcas lived simply. Dorcas lived like Jesus. Dorcas simply lived like Jesus. And in her simple living like Jesus, Dorcas transformed lives. What the scripture tells us is that Dorcas was a seamstress. That's why when Peter shows up, they begin to show him the garments that she had made, the things that she had hemmed, the sewing work, the reclaimed fabric she had worked into clothing for the poor. This is the work that she'd done. All of this work for the poor and forgotten in her midst. Dorcas worked tirelessly day in and day out to make and repair clothing for the widows, the orphans, and the poor. They would come to her with their needs, or sometimes she would seek them out if they were too embarrassed to ask. And she gave them something to wear. I'm certain they would just thank her profusely. And I can only believe that Dorcas would respond, "It's nothing, really. It's nothing." But it was everything. But to her, it was nothing. Because she was simply living like Jesus, sharing, loving, and doing her part. You know, Dorcas didn't spend the church money they were collecting to care for the widows and the orphans. She used her own resources. Because as a widow herself, she wanted to offer more than clothing. She also wanted to offer a demonstration of the possibility within. When she offered those clothes to another widow, they could see someone who was like them, still making a difference and active and important and doing things in the world just like they could be. Dorcas shared what she loved because she knew that everybody had something to offer. And so that's what she did. She offered what she could. She offered what she loved. And she did so in the humblest of ways. It's that humility. That was another one of the gifts that she shared. The graciousness and humility with which she did the work was also an offering to her community. Because in that humility, she was offering another example of God's love shown through the Christ that she followed. And she certainly did. You know, the book of Acts, in which we find this story, was actually written by the same author who wrote the Gospel of Luke. They should be put together in like a little pair. The author, however, gets something wrong. You don't hear me publicly state these kinds of things, but the author of this scripture got something wrong. In his writing, he calls the life and the work of Dorcas full of good works and compassionate acts. But what he forgets to do is call it what it really is: ministry. When men in the Bible do even a fraction of what Dorcas did, it's called ministry. But her service to God isn't even elevated to that level in our scripture today, which is wrong. Dorcas was in ministry because she loved people. She cared for people. She shared who she was. And when you share who you are and what God has offered you, you are in ministry. Like every person who simply lives like Jesus, and even those of us who are just doing our best to simply live like Jesus. For it's in that humble living, that gentle offering, and that sincere sharing that God's love is made known in this world. This is a good day to invite you to take a moment to think about people in your life, whether they be past or present, who have simply lived like Jesus. The people who, through their kind actions and words or presence, showed or show you what love is all about. Who are those people for you? Think about it for a moment. What were they sharing with you and sharing with the world? Thank God for them. Thank God for the way they simply lived and offered so much at the same time. Often those who would say, "Oh, it's nothing really," forget that to those of us who receive it, it is everything. You see, the invitation to share what you love is a humble invitation. Now, yes, there are some very grand, flashy things, some passions that can be shared with the world that are very awesome and fun to consider. But far too often, that kind of sharing is to be loved, not sharing what you love. There's a difference in those things. To share what you love is simply to live your life in a way that tends to the needs of others, to be aware of whatever you can give that will make a difference. And often, especially when we don't think we have much to offer in the first place, it seems like nothing really. That really doesn't make that big of a difference. And yet, it's everything. The community nearly came to a grinding halt at Dorcas's death. I venture an outsider might find it confusing. You know, someone passing through town who's a little perplexed as to how a seamstress's death could be such a problem. Some of the rest of you have needles and thread, don't you? I think you're going to be okay. But Dorcas's life was not about the sewing. It was about the giving and the loving. And that brings life to a community. Oh, that brings life to relationships. And it also brings to life the words of Jesus, this Christian community we're talking about all the time. Her community saw Jesus brought to life in her. When they heard these stories from the Gospel of Luke, invitations to love everyone, Jesus talking about caring for the least of these and to love your neighbor as yourself, as they heard these words, much like today, they can sound rather empty if they're said in the wrong place by the wrong person who's not living life that way. But these became more than stories and words when people saw Dorcas living them. The words of Jesus became accessible. The invitation of Jesus became possible because of how she lived. You see, that's what sharing what you love is all about. Making words that would otherwise just be a story come to life in our world. You know, it's actually a part of the conversation we have when somebody joins the church. I keep, you know, mentioning I've got the little envelopes. You come find one, I give it to you. It's a part of the new member packet. I mean, yes, a couple things in here are really just database informational kind of things. We do need to know how to get a hold of you. But the most important part are the questions I ask when you return this. One of those questions asks if you will support this community with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. Now, witness is a churchy word for how you live your life every day. And that's one of the most important words in this entire thing. Because that entire question, prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness, it is about bringing Jesus to life by sharing what you love. You know, sometimes people think that whole Jesus coming back from the dead thing is one of the craziest things to ever be thought up. I think Jesus coming to life in our own actions and sharing is just as crazy to think about. It's very powerful. You know, the idea of sharing what we love, Jesus coming to life in what it means to share what we love and care for others, it's something that this congregation and our community have been greatly blessed by. We've been blessed by people who give of themselves in beautiful, meaningful ways. People who tend to the needs of our life together. People who serve those in need, offering what they have, what they do, and even more who they are. We're blessed by people who respond with humble deference when thanked. Oh, it's nothing really. The little things internally. The folks that wash the dishes, hand out the bulletins. The folks that greet people as they walk in the door. The folks that kindly will sit next to a kid who's making all sorts of noise during worship and not give a glance at a parent. These are acts of love. Folks who get together and say, look, this is all I can offer this month, but here's what it is. Help me do something more with it. People who slather peanut butter on sandwiches and then go stand in the park to feed folks who are hungry. People who gather together to say, what do we need? What can I offer? How can I help? And it tends to be the things we overlook most often, those little ones, that when we're even offering them, we think, oh, this is nothing. And the story of Dorcas calls us to remember that it's everything if it's offered in love. Christ is alive in this congregation and in our community because of the ways you choose to live and love and share. Thank you.